Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. It's been a couple weeks. This is episode 82 of Mediocrity. The last time we did a show was back, I think May 1st. So it's been a few weeks. We've all been busy doing things, but we're so glad to finally be back with our trio of nether regions, beards, and love for one another. Pirate hat and all. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest. You can find this podcast, Mediocrity, on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men Network, where you can find other podcasts such as, what other podcasts do I have? Wrestling Is Everything Is Wrestling, and the new one, My Bloody Podcast, which is an all horror related one, as well as We Have Questions. I'm so excited, but Mediocrity is the big one. It's the whole enchilada with this one, and I'm so glad to be joined by the duo of dynamic diaper men with beards.
that was the weirdest one.
That was the weirdest one.
That one made the least amount of sense.
Of all the things I've been called in my life, this is the first time I've been called a diaper man.
It just makes sense right now. Yes, Jeremy and Jonathan, how are you lovely dudes doing?
Doing great, man. I'm fantastic. I'm glad to be recording with you guys.
I am too. How about Jeremy? How about you, sir?
Oh, I'm great, man. Doing awesome.
We have an awesome, awesome show for you today. It might run a little long, but we have a lot to get to. First off, we have to talk about, because I think all three of us have seen this, Deadpool 2, which I believe is Atterbury's favorite character in the world. I think if Atterbury were to become somebody, it would be Deadpool, just because Han Solo is dead. But we'll get to that a little later. Deadpool 2. I know Jeremy and myself have seen it, but Jonathan, have you?
I have not seen it.
Oh my God. So spoilers for you, sir.
No. Don't you dare.
It's such a good movie. I loved every bit of it. It's just as good as the first one. And it's got like more story to it. There's like some emotional parts to it. It's damn funny and damn gory. Jeremy, what do you have to think about Deadpool 2?
I agree with all of your statements. The only thing I think that it suffers from a little bit is just the reusing of some of the jokes from the first movie.
Okay. Do you think it was done like a hit over the head type of thing, or do you think it was like
a little bit? Like it was a little bit. There were a couple scenes where they were doing it and then they kept doing it, and it was a little Austin Powersy.
Okay. Okay.
But outside of that, I loved every second of it.
And it was just because of that. Austin Powersy in not a good way.
Huh?
I assume you mean Austin Powersy in a bad way.
Yeah, basically just kind of like reusing some of the same jokes from the first movie, which I get they've got to do. But the problem is, I feel like when you do that, it's just those moments are just not as entertaining as they are in the first movie when it's the first time you've heard those jokes.
True.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I get that. I guess I was just so entranced with it all. I guess I know they reused some, but I think it was like, or I thought it was like just part of the whole break the fourth wall. We're acknowledging everything. I loved it. I love that they brought in Josh Brolin as Cable, which was that was a perfect bit of casting. And the amount that we get to see of Colossus, as well as the new character, I guess. What was his name? Like Fire Fist or something like that? He's played by the kid who was in Hunt for the Wilder People, which is excellent. But I love that. I loved it. It was all sorts of good. Now, when you saw it, Jeremy, did you get any, like, emotional at any of the points?
Not really.
Not really? Did you feel like there was, like, a better story behind it all?
Yeah, there's more story in this one.
Okay, okay. Do you think that they should make a third one?
I think they should make a Deadpool movie every 3 years until I die.
With Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool through
absolutely.
Well, that's the good thing is that he's all wrinkly and gross looking, so even when he gets old, he can still do it.
Yeah, you never know. You'll never know at all.
That's true. That's true. I think both of us love this movie, and we have to talk about the post-credit sequence, which I think was my favorite post-credit sequence out of any movie, including any of the Marvel films. What do you think?
It was pretty great.
It's so good. Oh, I want to spoil it so badly right now because it's been out for a while, right, John? You don't mind, do you?
I'm going this weekend. You don't you say a word.
So I can't say that Sam Jackson shows up?
Yes, you cannot say that.
Okay. All right. Well, it's damn fun. It's good music. It is violent and... I loved it. I liked it. I want to see it again. So there is Deadpool 2. Let's move on a little bit. Let's move, because we've brought up Predator, the new Predator movie, quite a bit in this podcast. Did y'all get a chance to watch the new trailer?
Yes, I did.
Yep.
So does it, because I don't think y'all were real excited about when I read the synopsis for it, but with the trailer, do you think it looks any better or do you think it looks worse or what?
I think it looks worse.
I concur 1,000,000%.
Okay. So what, yeah, I watched it and I was like, okay, not the greatest trailer, but I still have hope because of who's behind it. But tell me why you didn't like it.
Shane Black is a great writer. His movies are usually so witty and so fun, but this just, I don't know, it looked like a B movie.
Well, isn't Predator a B movie like the first one?
I don't know. Or I mean, I think when you got Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's kind of an A-lister.
Now that's funny. I don't know if I'd put Arnold as an A-lister.
What are you talking about?
At that point in his career, he absolutely was probably the biggest movie star on the planet.
In Predator?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he was at that point or not, but he was, I mean, so right now, yeah, he's been making B movies ever since he was the governor. But before then, he was absolutely an A-lister for a long time, like 2 decades plus.
Wasn't he like the first person to get like $20 million for a movie?
Huh, I mean, that might have been Terminator 2, but who knows?
Yeah, because I think even Kindergarten Cop, that was the first, like, huge payday for an actor.
Wow, which is crazy. Okay, so Predators, this new one. No way. What did you not like about the trailer? Talk to me about it. Like, what did you see? What did you not like? Was there anything you did like about it?
I don't know. Honestly, it just looks like... sometimes you see these fan created trailers that are stitched together of random clips of previous movies and stuff like that. That's kind of what this felt like.
Okay.
It felt like a fan made trailer for a non-existent movie.
Okay, so it felt like a fan made trailer. Okay. I give that because it is kind of, it looks like the story takes place like in the suburbs somewhere in any town USA, really, which is really weird for a Predator movie, but I guess
yeah.
It's also different too.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that this has all the wit of Iron Man 3 and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and all of that, but so far it kind of just looks a little stupid.
Hmm. All right. What about you, Jeremy?
I got to agree, and just the whole, like, kid with the thing you know, when he takes the Predator shit out of the box in his basement and he's like steering it and making the ship crash. I mean, that was just, that was so bad. Like, just like really, really bad. And so I just kind of hope that a lot of that stuff gets edited out. And I don't love the kid stuff. And then like you had the trick-or-treating scene. And I'm like, man, it's like, it just feels like it's going out of its way to have like a little bit of like the kid, Stranger Things, I don't know, like Spielberg-y vibe to it. And it was just, I just didn't care for it. There was really nothing in it that intrigued me. And then they were like, oh, and they're upgrading to be bigger and more badder Predators. And that was really, even to me, that was the thing that was a little bit silly about the previous Predators movie, is they can't just make a Predator movie. It's like, no, these Predators are more badass than all the previous Predators are badass.
Right, it's just, like, I'm sorry, I believe the regular old Predator is pretty fucking badass. Yeah. Let's just have to be.
And it's just like, I feel like when you've got to do that stuff, it's just distract. It all usually ends up distracting from the fact that you're probably not telling a very good story.
I get that.
And I want to be wrong because I would love to have a new Predator movie that's good. But, you know, the previous one had fucking Topher Grace fighting Predators, so.
And the guy from The Pianist.
Yeah. Well, like, we can't get one legitimately, like, muscly badass action star to fucking be in these movies. I don't get it.
Well, who would it be?
Jason Momoa.
Jason Statham. Like,
Statham.
Yeah.
Get the cast of the Expendables and let them fight the Predator. That's what I want to see.
Exactly.
Expendables v. Predator.
Nobody wants to watch the fucking dude from The Pianist fight the Predator.
This has been bothering me since that movie came out. I'm still mad.
Say it out loud. It's just stupid. It sounds dumb. And somebody said it out loud, and a bunch of other people were like, yeah.
Like, well, remember the weird handicapped brother from The Village? Yeah, that guy fought the Predators.
To its defense, it was a different movie. It's like these people just were taken. They weren't military. They were just taken, kidnapped, and
but that's
sedated.
An example of missing the fucking point.
What?
The Predator is supposed to be fighting ultimate prey. Like, he's hunting badass humans because he wants a challenge.
Okay. Whatever you think.
That's what needs to be happening.
Whatever you think. Whatever you think.
I think that Predator's pretty fucking weak. If he's like, I want to hunt Topher Grace. That Predator gets no respect.
But Topher Grace was a serial killer. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, but it's still Topher Grace.
So y'all want big, muscly dudes fighting Predators.
Like I said, I want Expendables v. Predator. That's what I want.
I mean, I would love to see Stone Cold Steve Austin Stone Cold stun a Predator. That'd be badass. Or The Rock.
I want to see Dwayne Johnson fight fucking Predator.
Yeah.
What do I need to do to see Dwayne Johnson go fight a Predator in a Predator movie? Just let Dwayne Johnson's $3 studios or whatever make a Predator movie, please. He will do it right. He understands what needs to happen. That's what I want to see.
He's doing Big Trouble in Little China first, amongst many other movies. So
I'm fine. I just want that to be added to the list.
So do you think Kevin Hart should be in it? Because Kevin Hart is pretty muscly, too.
No. Nope.
But why? You just said muscly.
This
guy
is one of the few movies that I do not want to see Kevin Hart in there with Dwayne Johnson. No. It's not supposed to be funny. Predators is not a comedy. Kevin Hart cannot be not funny.
The first one had tons of funny moments in it.
It was tongue-in-cheek 90s tongue-in-cheek 80s, I guess, campy action movie lines. That's different than being overtly funny comedy.
And as soon as the Predator showed up, there was really no humor after that.
Right.
There was initial humor, but then no humor once shit got real.
You don't think Apollo Creed's arm being lasered off was funny and still shooting the gun?
No, yeah, but that's incredible.
That's not a joke bit. If you put Kevin Hart in there, he's going to run around the jungle making all of, like, Kevin Hart faces, and that will not be a Predator movie. It works in Jumanji, and it's funny there,
exactly.
But it's not funny in Predator.
Wow, y'all really
Predator doesn't need to be funny.
y'all really hold Predator close to you yourselves. I mean, it seems like y'all are
sure,
very protective.
Predator
of this.
Is one of my favorite action movies of all time.
Okay, all right, that's good. I like
that. And
movie
I'm just
too.
Upset because it's ever since that one, it's never been done right again.
You didn't like the Danny Glover one in the city?
The Danny Glover one is all right. I've watched it a couple times, and I'm always kind of bored.
Okay. And then you didn't like AVP 1 or 2?
No.
And I guess you didn't like Predators. So I guess here's hoping.
I would rather watch the Alien versus Predator movies than the Predators movie.
Wow. I agree with that. Wow. All right. All right, all right, all right. Y'all do your thing. I don't like AVP at all. I actually own Predators, and I actually like that movie.
Of course you do.
But I mean, of course, if I'm going to watch a Predator movie, usually I'm going to put in the original Predator. I do love that movie a lot.
It's hard to beat, man.
I'd still rather watch all of those movies than what was that fucking Alien Covenant movie that just came out.
Wow. Y'all are not going to revisit that, are you? No.
I will just rewatch Prometheus over and over and over again and not touch Covenant.
Okay. All right. So Predator trailer, first one is out. Check it out. It's on YouTube somewhere. Hopefully there will be a better trailer, and hopefully the movie itself will be awesome. And dare I say it, there should be an Arnold cameo at some point in it, which would be awesome. I don't care where or when. Just have him there. What was his name in that movie? I'm trying to remember.
Dutch.
Huh? Like Dutch Rudder. Dutch.
It's ready to go. I know it.
Dutch. All right. All right. Well, I hear you there. Okay. Moving on. Let's talk about, since we just talked about Deadpool 2, Ryan Reynolds is set to star in a new movie called, I think called Six Underground. And Michael Bay will direct Ryan Reynolds in a movie. Ugh. And this will be a Netflix-only movie, and Netflix is shelling out $150 million for this movie. And it's slated to release next summer on Netflix. So what do you think? What do you think about this? Do you think Michael Bay and Ryan Reynolds are... Well, interestingly enough, I think Paramount pulled the next Transformers movie out of their calendar. So that's not happening anytime soon because I think Michael Bay and Ryan Reynolds are making this movie called Six Underground. So what do you think about this? Do you think Netflix is just throwing away money, or do you think this will be good for them?
I'm sure it'll be good for them because Michael Bay makes idiotic movies for the idiotic masses. And I think that a lot of people are going to watch it.
I would argue if this movie keeps us from having another Transformers movie, it's probably good for the world in general.
I would agree with that. But really, I mean, in all honesty, Michael Bay is one of these people that I just wish would stop making movies.
Oh, he's definitely
I'm not saying that to be a dick. I really sincerely feel like his movies are garbage.
Do they have a plot for this movie?
The only thing that is said about this movie so far is that it's a high intense testosterone mission movie. Which
of
just
of course it is. Which, let me guess, it's there's lots of glint and sweat.
Who knows? But yeah, that's all that is known about it. And it's called Six Underground, and who knows what this is going to be about, but $150 million for a Netflix movie. It's the most Netflix has ever paid for a movie. Now, I wonder, let's say in the next few months, they start giving that much more money to other movies. I just don't know why. I mean, I get Ryan Reynolds. He's bankable, but Michael Bay, I guess people go see Transformers, but because there's a built-in audience with Transformers. I don't think anybody really saw his last war movie with John Krasinski. I don't even remember what that was called.
15 hours.
Okay, there you go. So, I don't know. Netflix, it's interesting because I guess at certain really big film festivals, these big film festivals told Netflix that they would no longer accept Netflix original movies to be entered into their film festival. So I think Netflix is trying to do something here and create their own festival and get bigger budget movies to enter into these festivals. It's really weird.
Why won't they take Netflix movies?
It's something about being on a big screen, something like about being in a theater on a big screen and not just something somebody can watch at home. That was like, there's a huge argument, and there's like many filmmakers on both sides of it. So I think it's really weird. But also, I'm very curious on, you know, usually when you think of Ryan Reynolds or Michael Bay, you think, okay, if I'm going to watch this, I'm going to go to the biggest theater because the sound and things are going to be crazy. But now it seems like, okay, everybody's going to be watching at home. So I don't know. I guess, yeah, like I said, I'm not a fan of Michael Bay. Like, I like The Rock and I like Bad Boys. Other than that, No, not a fan, but I agree with Jeremy. We don't need any more Transformers movies, at least with Michael Bay at the helm. So, yeah, Six Underground. We'll see what that means. Who knows if it's a war movie? Who knows if it's something else? But $150 million. So, hopefully. So, how about this? Do you think Netflix should give $150 million to do a Predator movie?
No. What? I want The Rock to make a Predator movie.
So. Oh, my gosh. It's always The Rock and the Predator with you. Okay. All right. Moving on. All right. So in recent podcasts, we have discussed that how cool it would be if Disney would buy 20th Century Fox, which would mean that, you know, Fantastic Four and X-Men would be part of the Marvel Universe. But now it seems like Comcast, the cable company, has entered the fray to buy 20th Century Fox. Supposedly, they're going to offer $60 billion for it, which is crazy. So I'm curious, if any company were to buy 20th Century Fox, because it seems this is inevitable, what company do you want? Do you want Disney to really take it so they can do the
whole Marvel? Of course we want Disney to take it. Why would we possibly want fucking Cox to take it?
Like, two things there. It's like, one, like, list, you know, off the top of your head, all the great creative successes of anything Comcast has made, right, versus all of the Marvel movies and the Star Wars stuff. Plus, at the end of the day, all I really fucking want is Fox fanfare at the beginning of my Star Wars movies again. And if Disney buys that, we can have that. And that's all I want. I don't give a shit about – I don't care about the Fantastic Four or the X-Men. I just want the fanfare before my Star Wars movies.
Who gives a shit about if Wolverine ever makes it an Avengers movie? Fuck it.
I don't give a shit about him fighting the Hulk. I mean, cool, yes, great. Not Hugh Jackman. I'll take it still. I'll go pay for it. But really, I need the fanfare before my Star Wars movies.
I love it. That's exactly what I want to.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I would really like to have all, you know, I think it makes the most sense to want Disney on it so we can have all those Marvel characters under the same roof and not have them split up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes sense to have them all together. Like, there's no reason to not have them together.
So do you think 20th Century Fox will be, we'll see the bigger picture here as regard to fans and like, okay, so Disney offers us $55 million, but Comcast offers us like 65. Do you think they'll still go with $55 billion?
Hell no. They don't give a shit about that. They're going to sell whoever offers them the most money.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think Disney's not going to let that happen. Yeah, I agree. I don't think Disney's going to let it happen. All Fox cares about is the money. If Fox cared about the creative side of it, you wouldn't have the Fantastic Four movies that you've had previously or some of the really shitty X-Men movies.
Yep.
You know,
they're looking to make a buck.
They're concerned with the money, and that's it.
Yep. And I just sincerely do not think that Disney's going to let themselves get outbid in this because they want to have all those Marvel characters under the same roof as much as we want to have them there.
Yeah, I have no idea how Yeah, how that would play out, because there's so much under, like, under Comcast and Disney, they have so many subsidiary companies that acquiring Fox, like, what if Warner Brothers just enters the deal? Who knows? It's just crazy to me that Disney just wouldn't pull out all the stops. Like, yes, we could really make our money back with this franchise or these franchises, really.
I bet they will.
I mean, Deadpool alone is at this point a billion-dollar franchise just with the first movie and how much the second one's made so far.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's without getting into your X-Force movies or the next Deadpool or all that shit.
And we know once X-Men and Fantastic Four get done right, they will be billion-dollar franchises easily.
X-Men in the hands of Fox is going to make insane money.
Oh, and Disney, you mean?
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. It's true. It's once they can start doing that, having that whole world together, it's going to be explosion of even more Marvel movies than we get now.
Yeah, I wonder if like there will be like not just like a different phase. Like, you know, there's like been three phases in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I wonder if they'll just add Fantastic Four and X-Men to that, or if there'll be a separate, different like universe phase with the other characters that Fox is always
in. I bet they'll include it in the phase that they're doing when the time comes.
So, I agree.
So if this happens,
I think that mutants popping up will most likely be like part of one of the phases.
Okay. All right. So besides seeing something like Wolverine and Hulk movie, is there any sort of like team up or battle you really want to see that we haven't seen before if the Disney Fox thing goes through?
Oh, there's so much, man. I think, you know, we want to see Doctor Doom. We want to see, you know, all of the X-Men stuff done from the ground up again. Basically, that's what I want to see.
You think so? You think we need to see, like, because part one and two, I think, really did a good job with that. I wonder if they would build on that or...
No, they got a clue of what?
You mean the X-Men movies?
Yeah, X-Men 1 and 2, like from 2000.
I would like to see those completely... here's the thing. Those don't need to be redone, like just redoing those movies, because that story was just for that movie anyways. There's a million ways you could tell that.
And so X-Men First Class, honestly, is not a very good... It's an okay movie.
Wow.
But it's not a good adaptation of the beginning of the X-Men, honestly.
Interesting. Well, yeah, because I guess I agree with that, because usually there's like a big story with Magneto and the Holocaust and his family, which they really don't touch on, which I guess I can see because it's like kind of a family superhero dynamic. They don't want to show that. However, it would be really cool to kind of see, is it Feige? Kevin Feige and Marvel really do it up. I don't know. I wonder what would happen. I'm very curious. But I bet you, I'm willing to bet that before this year's end, Fox will be going somewhere. And let's hope it's Disney, because holy shit, I think the possibilities are limitless with that Marvel Cinematic Universe. They would just own everything then.
I mean, who doesn't want to watch the Hulk fight the Thing on a big-ass movie screen?
Oh.
Yes.
How great would that be? Oh, you know what? Those are in several comic books, right? The Thing versus the Hulk. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I wonder how, like, Silver Surfer will come into it. And
well, he's the Herald of Galactus, so if Galactus shows up, the Silver Surfer will be there before him.
So I always thought, like, because we've all seen Infinity War, I always thought, like, after Thanos, we would get Galactus, would be the next big villain, or Doctor Doom, but who knows?
You only get those if they merge them together. But on the flip side of that, if they, you know, if they buy them, they also get access to Apocalypse.
Oh yeah, so.
And he is an awesome, epically big villain.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I really liked him in the last X-Men movie. However, I feel like they didn't utilize him near enough.
I agree. So. And plus, I hated that rubber makeup that they put on his face.
You could not recognize Oscar Isaac whatsoever.
I didn't like it because it looks like rubber.
Looked like a villain from the Power Rangers.
Yeah. Like, I loved Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse. I liked his performance and everything he did. I just didn't like that, the latex rubbery looking makeup.
All right.
It just looks like somebody wearing a rubber suit.
Yeah, it's weird, but I still enjoyed it for the most part. It's not my favorite X-Men movie for sure, but I get it. All right. So Fox News and all that good stuff. Let's talk a little bit about, I want to bring up something on Netflix that is on. So there's a new documentary miniseries on Netflix called Evil Geniuses. Have you all seen it yet?
I have
not.
No,
sir.
Okay, so I highly, 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 highly suggest everybody watching this on Netflix. It's a documentary crime series called Evil Geniuses, and you probably would recognize the story. This happened in 2003, and if you remember that movie 30 Minutes or Less with Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari, where Jesse Eisenberg paid a pizza delivery guy and was kidnapped by Danny McBride to with a bomb around his neck and he had to go rob a bank. That movie was actually based on they say it wasn't based on a true story, but it's a true story in this little crime series called Evil Geniuses is about that whole thing and how – and it's insane and told very well. It's actually done by the Duplass brothers, who did tons of great things on HBO and film-wise. But y'all should check it out if y'all like, you know, the really cool crime documentaries. Are y'all interested in that at all? Do y'all remember that movie, 30 Minutes or Less?
Did not see that movie. I'm not super huge in the crime documentaries on Netflix.
I think you would like this one, just how it's told and how batshit insane it is on how these people in this town did this.
I've been meaning to give it a try, but I'd say, like, the average crime show on Netflix does not interest me that much. Usually I get like one or two episodes in and I kind of get bored.
So I'm going to compare this one to my two favorite crime documentary series, which is the West Memphis 3 documentaries, Paradise Lost, as well as The Staircase, which is coming back as well. They're that good. And these Evil Geniuses, it's literally about this guy who one day went into a bank with an umbrella gun that was custom made with a bomb strapped around his neck and robbed a bank. And of course, you know, it does not end well for him. But yeah, it is insane. It's about like how that all happened and who all was behind it. It's crazy. And it just gets crazier. It's pretty short. I think it's 4 or 5 episodes, but highly worth it if you haven't seen it. Another thing that came out on 4K, since we're talking about superheroes, did y'all remember the early 2000 movie called Push with Chris Evans? This was post Fantastic Four, pre Captain America.
Yeah, I remember it.
I didn't see it.
So I just watched it again and reviewed it, and I hadn't seen it since it came out. It's surprisingly pretty good. It kind of has like a supernatural X-Files, more realistic X-Men type of tone to it. But still pretty good. It goes off on tangents, but Push, pretty decent. Do you remember liking it, Jeremy?
Man, I like barely remember it. I think I don't even know if I watched the whole thing. I remember enjoying it.
Okay.
And I know there was some comic based stuff that kind of like went along with it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, Chris Evans is in it, Digimon, Hansu, and Corey Stoll. All three of those people are in the MCU, and this was before the MCU was a thing. But, yeah, it's pretty good. It's still, you know, it's all about – it's like X-Men mutant people running away from the government agents, you know, type of thing, and all set in Hong Kong, interestingly enough. So it's on 4K. It's been re-released. It's pretty cool. I got to move on to, so I write for High Def Digest and I just released, my Star Wars movies rankings and I wanted to bring those up to you guys to see if you had to make fun of me or not. What do you say?
Well, I mean, we don't have to, but we will. All right. Lay it on us, dude. What do you got?
So ranked from worst to first, the worst being The Phantom Menace, the next one, Attack of the Clones.
I already disagree.
The next one, Attack of the Clones. The next one, Revenge of the Sith. The next one, Rogue One, followed by Solo, followed by The Force Awakens, followed by Return of the Jedi, followed by The Last Jedi, followed by The Empire Strikes Back, and then followed by the original Star Wars movie, A New Hope.
I disagree all over the place.
But why, though? If anybody knows anything, I've seen more Star Wars movies than you, and I know better.
Just because you've seen Solo and I haven't doesn't mean you get to lord it over me, you fucker.
It does kind of mean that he does know more about Han Solo than you do.
That's bullshit. He knows more about the fucking movie. That one movie.
That's canon, though.
It is. I'm just saying, I feel like I'm an expert on this, and John, I have to teach you something about it.
All right, Brian, what planet is Han Solo from?
Oh, I don't know.
That's right. Suck my dick.
That was in the movie.
It was in the movie.
You just shit all over yourself.
All right. Anyways, moving on. Now that I have reminded you who's actually in charge here.
Shit. Well, tell me. Talk to me.
He's Carillion.
Talk to me. Oh, no, it's Carillion. But what do you disagree about my list?
Okay, so first of all, I'd put Rogue One at the very bottom. That's what I would do.
Now, that is just Solo, so terribly insane.
I don't agree. I would much rather watch any of the prequel trilogy, movies than Rogue One.
I think I agree with that. The more I watch Rogue One, honestly, the less I enjoy it. I watch Rogue One to get to the space battle at the end and Darth Vader.
You know, as much as people give the prequel trilogy shit, they still feel like Star Wars movies through and through. And that's what I like about them. And so I would say that number one for me is definitely going to be Empire.
Okay.
I think I would put Return of the Jedi at number two and A New Hope at number three.
Wow.
And then probably Last Jedi and Force Awakens. Last Jedi 4, Force Awakens 5. And then probably Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace, Rogue One.
What? Rogue One at the bottom? You are insane, sir.
Rogue One is the one that feels the least like a Star Wars movie.
It is a Star Wars movie. What are you talking about? There's Star Wars
everywhere. I actually agree with all of John's list. I might move a couple things around for my list, but it's almost pretty much exactly the same.
What would you move around?
I might flip Empire and Jedi, with Jedi being my favorite one. And I also, The Last Jedi might rank higher for me than A New Hope sometimes.
Interesting.
Like, I might actually have The Last Jedi in third there.
So I have Last Jedi in three, so we agree there. For sure.
Stop saying we agree. You're making me feel bad about myself.
Why?
Embarrassing him.
You're embarrassing me on the internet.
You're embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
What are you talking about? Jeremy, you and I have seen Last Jedi at least twice in the theater. What's so bad to agree that it's our number three ranked?
It's just more of a street rep thing for me, I think.
Accept it, sir. Accept it. So, interestingly enough, so Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, no, so with each of these rankings, you know, I wrote, you know, a couple hundred words on each movie, you know, giving my reasons. But I'm curious as to why, John, for you, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi for you, Jeremy, is number one.
I think that Empire Strikes Back is the best written of all the Star Wars movies, and I think it's got the best dynamics as far as drama mixed with all of the comedy and the lighthearted stuff and the action and the philosophy. To me, that was just really the sweet spot. And I, of all the scores, that's also my favorite.
Okay. All right. All right. Jeremy, what about you, Return of the Jedi?
I agree with John. My reason for Jedi just being number one on my list is that was the first movie I ever saw in theaters as a kid.
Okay.
And
nostalgic
just, so just like the kid mind blown thing will always have that movie high up on there for me.
Okay. All right. No, I said, I mean, it was tough to put Empire Strikes Back at number two, but I did do the original Star Wars, A New Hope, as the number one. So I'm, yeah, there's reasons for it as you can read on High Def, but yeah, it's, What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing at John's, like, leg right in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I just scratched my foot.
He's, like, totally just digging in there. He's like letting some air in.
Yep.
That was great.
I forgot that the camera is at that angle, and you guys got
oh, no, he's really fully aware of it. He's
yeah,
fully
I know.
Aware of it.
Whatever.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so...
All right, so can I do my Star Wars theory?
Yes. So tell us about your Star Wars theory. Where did this come from and why?
This is the one that I pitched to you. And I haven't told this to John yet.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right, so in The Last Jedi, Luke is hiding basically on the island, for things like... You know, originally in, Empire, Yoda's like, don't get involved, stay here, don't go get in the middle of all the shit. So he's really kind of following Yoda's advice from that movie while also exiling himself for his perceived failure, really in the same way that Yoda did, where he just kind of went and was like, fuck this, I'm just going to hide on this little island and whatever. So kind of along those same lines, when Rey shows up, Luke has cut himself off from the Force, and he reopens himself up while she's there, but then she leaves. I think what he is very likely going to reveal to her in the next movie is, along the lines of what some of our original theories were, that she's either, has Skywalker blood, like she's Han and Leia's kid, or what, well, however you want to do it, that she could be a Skywalker as well, and that the reason that he didn't tell her is the same reason that Yoda and Obi-Wan didn't tell him that Vader was his father. Like, their reason for that is that he wasn't ready for the burden of being the son of Darth Vader, and for all of the reasons that he talks to her about, like, the Skywalker legend and the importance of that for her, to have found out at that moment that before she's really even had any training, that she's a Skywalker, that would have been too heavy a burden to put on her at that moment. And that's why he basically recognized her in the Force, but then chose not to tell her.
Interesting. John, what do you think?
I like it. I could totally see that happening.
So do you think the whole thing is kind of just a misdirect and then they're going to surprise us?
I maintain my theory that I believe that Kylo and Rey are siblings.
I agree.
It would, it makes sense because I've watched The Last Jedi recently again, and it does make sense that something like Rey or Kylo would be doing something with their minds to like make it seem. That told us in Last Jedi that she came from nothing, but who knows. I don't know. I would love to be that they were siblings. It would be great because I guess if they actually kill Kylo Ren, who's left in the Skywalker line, really? Is there anybody? Unless it's Rey?
No one that we know of so far.
Yep. Correct. Yeah. All right. So... I imagine our next episode, we will heavily discuss Solo, A Star Wars Story. However, since Jeremy and I have both seen it, I would just like, kind of like a quick reaction to it. If Jeremy, did you like it? Did you not like it? Is it okay?
I did like it. John asked me to rank it, just kind of like on a 1 to 10 thing. And I told him that was really hard to do because having read, consumed so much, like, kind of expanded universe stuff that John and I have, it's really hard to watch them change things with the origin of that character. Some things are just a little weird. Plus, you just, at the end of the day, there is a shock factor of watching someone run around on the screen that is Han Solo, that is not Harrison Ford, even though it's, you know, it's the same thing of, like, even when you watch a little bit of, like, when you watch The Last Crusade and you're watching, what's his face? River Phoenix.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Shia LaBeouf in The Last Crusade. you know, you're watching him run around, you know, kind of doing a young Harrison Ford impersonation, but it's just still not the same. But the thing I dig about the guy that played it is he didn't just walk around doing a Harrison Ford Han Solo impersonation. Like, he didn't just run around, like, making the faces and raising his eyebrow and smirking the whole time. You know, he had the bravado, but it wasn't just a bad impersonation.
Yeah, I actually think the first, you know, half, I think, of Solo, everybody's trying to find the footing. And then the second half, I think they really fall into the characters. And it's like, oh, the guy who plays him, Alden Ehrenreich, actually does a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, and I felt like the point I felt like where it really got better at it, and I don't know if they did it intentionally, but once he kind of, like, the moment came where he got to fly the Falcon, that moment forward, I just felt like it just seemed more settled in. And so I don't know if that was coincidental or if it was intentionally that way, where they wanted it to be where the second he was, like, steering the Falcon, that was more of, like, Han Solo forward a little bit. Like, he was a little bit more settled in personality-wise.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. Yeah, we'll talk more in depth about it when Atterbury sees it. Hopefully he'll see it this weekend. Do you have plans to see it this weekend?
No, probably next weekend.
So not this Memorial weekend, so a week after.
Correct.
Oh, you ball sack. You have to wait that long. We're going to spoil it for you next time. All right. So, yeah, it's a good theory. We have to wait another year, but we will find out just who Rey is, if there is really even a Rey. But I'm excited. So after seeing Last Jedi and all this stuff, are you excited to see J.J. Abrams come back and do the third or the eighth one? Ninth one?
I'm down, yeah.
Okay. All right, me too.
I'm always going to be down for more Star Wars. You're going to have to shit the bed pretty hard for me to not be like, yeah, I'm ready for more Star Wars.
All right. Jonathan, you?
I agree.
Okay, all right. You just sit. I don't know what you're thinking. You just look happy. Show me that leg again. Video game-wise, I guess we're all still playing Sea of Thieves. I guess we're still all enjoying it, correct?
Absolutely, man. Just a couple days until The Hungering Deep, and I'm very excited about that.
I am too.
So The Hungering Deep on Sea of Thieves is going to be like a new side mission or new mini game. I don't know. For a limited
time. It's new content, and I don't know if it's limited time, but it's new content, and it's totally free.
Yeah, it is limited time, I know, but I think some of the things you get in there are going to stay forever. But I think that the actual mission is limited time, and it seems like there's going to be a gigantic shark to beat. And then, of course, like, I guess you're going to get an extra instrument and drums as well. So I have no idea.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. So I'm thrilled with the game. It's just getting better all the time. It's pretty much the only video game I play right now.
All right. Well, I have to bring up a little story that happened a day or two ago when we were all playing. I'm still so excited about that because we were all playing and it was late at night and I had to convince some people to stay up and play. And we did it. It ended up taking like 2 hours, but we were not sank once, and we had to fight a bunch of pirates and ships that came our way in, you know, collecting treasure. And we didn't sink once, which I think speaks to our amazing ability to communicate with one another and keeping our ship and treasure intact. Do y'all agree?
Well, so I came in about halfway into this situation, maybe later.
You were there for the last about 25%.
Yep.
And that was an entertaining 25%. One of the funny things was that Josie didn't really want to play. She wanted to go to bed.
Yes.
And while she was talking about it, basically, I just kind of raised anchor and set sail with her on the boat and started sailing.
I noticed that, by the way. I noticed that, which was perfect. I was like, I wonder if she knows that he's doing that.
Yeah, that was completely intentional. I was like, well, we'll just do this. And maybe she'll get off, and maybe John will see the text messages that were on our way there, and he'll hop on. And so even if she hops out, you know, he'll be here, and we'll still be able to do it either way. But, yeah, it was
and I got the text messages. They're sending out an SOS. Like, we're doing a skull fort. We need you. That was the exact phrase that I received. We need you.
Well, I told them to text you, and I was like, look, don't be like, hey, we're playing Sea of Thieves, and we're going to do a skull fort. Tell them that we're doing one right now. We need a fourth person. Because I was like, if he knows we're in the middle of it, there's a better chance he's going to get on.
True. Very true.
There's more urgency if he knows that we're balls deep in the skull fort.
Yeah.
And it was, I just have to reiterate that when doing a skull fort in Sea of Thieves, it is one of the more difficult things in the game to do. So you're doing one of the most difficult things in the game, but then you have the added bonus of ships and other pirates trying to kill you. So there were three of us for the better amount of the time we were playing, defending and getting the treasure and fighting while not being sunk once. And I'm just very proud of us for that. I felt very accomplished in all of that.
We did very well that night.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. It was fantastic. We'll have to relive that soon, hopefully, very soon over the holiday weekend. Let's move on to our main event, our main topic of discussion today, which is films, movies that we actually think are pretentious. Pretentious, you know, of course, you know, stuff that just thinks that they're better than they actually are, that they think they're more important and cultured than they actually really are. So I'm curious, Jeremy, do you have any movies that come to mind that are pretentious to you?
I don't know, man. The thing is I ran into was I just don't watch a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, 99% of the movies I consume are like just Star Wars and the stuff that I watch like kind of just like while I'm working throughout the day. So, you know, and on the flip side, a lot of the stuff that I would probably consider pretentious are probably more of your depressing, sad bastard movies. And I really don't go out of my way to consume those just because for me, if I'm going to take a couple hours to watch something new, I'm probably not going to go that route anyway. There was really nothing in particular that was jumping out, you know. You know, I might put some of like the Wes Anderson movies kind of under that type of vibe a little bit, even though I enjoy some of them, you know. But I didn't really, there was really nothing that just kind of came to mind like when you mentioned it. And I've actually been thinking about it nonstop. And I did, you know, did some Googling, you know, for it earlier this morning to look some stuff up. But there was really nothing where I'm, you know, that jumped out for me.
Okay, yeah. And you know what? I love Wes Anderson so much, but I know that his movies definitely seem like, I guess they're just so artistic and made in such like a artsy way to tell kind of a simple story that it like actually might seem more important than it actually is. But I have definitely heard tons of people thinking Wes Anderson films are pretentious for sure. And I would probably agree with that, even though I love Wes Anderson. Love him. That's good. It's good stuff. All right. Atterbury, thoughts, questions, queries?
Well, so I've realized that I love pretentious movies, actually. that is what I realized today. I started thinking real hard and pulled up a few lists of pretentious movies, and I was going through like, man, I love most of these movies. I love The Fountain. I love Mother. I love Cloud Atlas. I love the Matrix films, especially the first two. And so many of these movies that just get shit for being quote-unquote pretentious. I love Wes Anderson movies. I love all these movies that are important films. And I really don't think that most of those are trying to be more important than they are. I think that they are just movies that are dealing with, you know, interesting topics and philosophical concepts, and I love that. Now, there are a couple movies that definitely came to mind. I'm going to say number one, being fucking pretentious as hell, is Avatar.
I agree with that.
Oh, Avatar. I don't know. Is it pretty? I guess it might probably as pretentious. It's, I remember seeing it in the theater, and I was like, wow. But I think it's also like James Cameron just being gimmicky now. You know, just like.
I think it was pretentious, and it was a message about saving the fucking rainforest, basically. But it was just told in such a stupid, idiotic way. And it was given so much critical praise and, you know, fanfare, but it was just such a shit movie.
Well, aren't you excited that they're going to make, like, four more movies of that?
That's what they keep saying, but I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm also going to say Titanic. So, shit movie that's been given way too much credit over the years.
I concur with that.
I'm going to say Deer Hunter.
Wow, Deer Hunter, really?
Because that movie is fucking boring. So fucking boring. It's like, what, 3 hours long, and it is just the most boring movie ever.
Weird.
Next up, I'm going to say Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver? How could Taxi Driver be pretentious? It's not. It's like the antithesis of pretentious.
I think that it's pretentious in its facade of not being pretentious.
It's raw and gritty and violent and fucked up.
But that's what I mean. It's not that raw and gritty. I think that it's just an over-glorified 70s crap fest.
What? Have you seen that movie?
I have. It's not that good.
It is amazing.
Next up on my list is Mulholland Drive.
Oh, poor
Mulholland
Drive.
Because David Lynch shit is boring also, as all fuck.
Christ. I don't know what to do
with
you.
His stuff is so pretentious and horribly boring.
You're so weird. All right. You're going on?
That's my list.
That's your list?
Nope, that's my list. That's it.
You want to hear my list?
Yes.
Pretentious number one, Predator.
Fuck you.
That's a pretentious ass movie, bitch. I'm just kidding. I like Predator. Pretentious. A few came to mind. One of them being a horrible, horrible fucking movie I watched with Will Smith called Collateral Beauty. What a shit show movie that tried to be so much more, and it wasn't. It was so it was bad. It was very bad. Also, even though I like this, well, I somewhat like this movie, and I like the actors, I think Garden State with Zach Braff and Natalie Portman is highly pretentious.
Oh, I love that movie.
Like I said, I own it. I think that movie
What makes it pretentious, though? It is what it is, and it's got – there's important stuff happening in there.
I think that they're trying too much. Zach Braff tried too much, too hard to do so much more with that than actually what it was.
I love that movie.
Nope. I mean, I like it, too. Like I said, I love Wes Anderson movies, but I agree that they're pretentious. I will agree with you, John, though, again, on Mother. Very pretentious movie.
I said I love Mother. I said I love pretentious movies.
Exactly, and I said...
That was one of the ones that I don't think that's pretentious, though. I really don't. I didn't think that was a pretentious movie at all. I think that that was just an intelligent movie that a lot of people didn't get. I think that the people that don't get something usually say, oh, it's pretentious, because it went over my head.
It's a pretentious movie.
Okay.
Also, I would like to say – so a lot of people bring up pretentiousness with Terrence Malick, and I'm a huge fan of Terrence Malick, specifically his movie Tree of Life, which is kind of similar in a way to Boyhood. Terrence Malick just has a way different vision of kind of going through life and life's little moments. Yes, while Tree of Life is probably pretentious, I still love that movie wholly. That was probably my favorite film of that year, if not my second favorite film of that year. I loved it quite a bit. But if you haven't seen Tree of Life, it is fantastic. I loved it. Very good cinematography and just showing the little moments that we all go through. Really like it. Yeah, I guess that's my list. I'm trying to think of a big blockbuster that's pretentious, but I can't think of one. But yeah, those are my list. But yeah, definitely Garden State for sure.
Fair enough.
And Predator. Yes. But that wraps up our mediocrity episode for this week. That is episode 82. Hopefully we'll be back next week for 83. Well, we will spoil everything Solo, A Star Wars Story for Jonathan Atterbury. Very excited for that. Until then, where can everybody find you guys?
Right here on this podcast.
Jeremy?
Jeremy Megert Art on Instagram and Twitter.
Cool. And find me at High Def Digest and Boomstick Comics. Look up my Star Wars rankings and let it be known that I am very right on my rankings, despite what these two Padawans say. Until next time, may the Force boldly go where we don't need roads.